We are learning Masechta Sedarim Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and we are starting three lines from the top of Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Zok the Gemara, Vekiva Iskachis Lei Barte. See, until now we were talking about Rabbi Yehuda, who was very poor, so we continue talking about Rabbi Akiva, who also was very poor when he first got married. Rabbi Akiva, Iskachis Lei Barte, the Kalba Savua, the daughter of Kalba Savua. Kalba Savua was a very wealthy person, and his daughter saw Rabbi Akiva, who was a shepherd, a simple shepherd, 40 years old, she saw in him a lot of potential, and she got married to her. She got married to him. So, Rakiva's Kachle Barat the Kalba Savua, Shoma Kalba Savua. So, the Kalba Savua heard about this Kedushin. Adri Hano Makol Nichse. He asked her to have Hano from any of his Nechasim. Ozla Vinceva Law Besisva. So she went ahead and married, and she went ahead and still did not listen to her father, even though she was disowned from the possessions of her father. She still went ahead and got married to Rabbi Akiva. It says in the winter, or there's a girsa of a sisra, you know, she hid it away, she got married. So after they got married, Havagonu Beit Tivna, they were sleeping without beds, they were sleeping on straw. Havakamanka Beit Tivna Mimazia, she woke up in the morning, she was pulling out the straw from her hair. And it was very. She was a rich girl coming from a rich family. Amalah, so Rabbi Akiva told her, if I had money, I would give you a certain tachshit, a certain piece of jewelry called Yerushalayim Dehava, a gold Yerushalayim. And like the Ram brings down that Taka, when he had money, Taka made this for her, like it's a voyer in Mesechta Shabbos. Akaponim. So also Eliyahu Navi came to the Eliyahu Navi came and he made himself look like a poor person. Kari Abava, he was knocking on the door. Amalahu, Havuli Porta the Tivna, please give me some straw. The Yaldis Itzi, my wife had a baby, but Leslie Middam, I don't have anything laguna to sleep on. So the reason why Eliyahu Navi was coming was to be menachem them a little bit, to show that there are people who have even less than them. Akaponim was just showing how little money they had. Even though she was from a wealthy family, she had very little money. All she had was a straw to sleep on, it was taken out of her hair. Omrale, she told him, Zil Havi Beirab, go to yeshiva, go learn. And it's a vuya in the Gemara and other places that it was a Tanai in the Kedushin already that she made up with him that I'm gonna get married to you, but I want you to go learn. So Ozel Tartis Rishin Kame Der Blez Rabbi Shua. He went for 12 years to learn in front of Lez Rabbi Shua. L'mishlam tarti sereshinin, after 12 years, ka'osu l'beise, he came back home, shoma minachari l'beise, the ka'amar law, chad rosha l'vesu, he heard, when he came back home, he heard from behind the walls that a certain rosha was telling his wife, shape avalach avuch, your father was right by asking hanah from you. Chodod loy damilach, number one, that his family is not as chash as your family, so like the shidduch has no shaychus. Va'oid, look at the guy. Look, he left you for 12 years by yourself. Omrale, so she answered to him, if he would listen to me, let him stay another 12 years learning. Omar, so Rekiva said to himself, since I got reshus, you see, my wife doesn't want me to go another 12 years, I'll turn around and go back. He went back to learn, and he learned for another 12 years. Also, when he came back after that, also, he came back with 24,000 Talmidim, or 24,000 pairs of Talmidim. So, the whole world came out to greet him. He was a god of Adar. He had 24,000 Talmidim at least. But he comes to Mepigapi. She also went to greet her husband. She hasn't seen her husband 24 years. Amalahu Rashia, a certain Rasha told the Va'at Hecha, you going out like that, going out in those rags to greet the God of Adar, and coming out in the Shabbos clothing, going out in your rags. Amalei, Yedei Tzadik Nefesh Behemta. Don't worry, my husband knows my mysterious Nefesh that I did for him, and he knows that this is all I can afford. She went to see Rabbi Akiva. Kamatchon LeRabbanan, Rabbanan saw a lady, they weren't sure who she was. And they try to push her to the side. They don't come here. Amalahoin. So Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Akiva recognized her. Rabbi Akiva said, Hinichula, Shaliva Shalachem Shalah. my Torah and your Torah belongs to her. Like the Ran explains, Teirasi v'teirascham v'shvilahi shenosna li eitzah l'meizah l'bei rab. She's the one who gave the whole eitzah. It's her idea to go learn. So all the Torah is all in her z'chus. So Shama, shliv v'shlem shalahu. Shama kavasavua heard now that his son-in-law, all of a sudden, is the god of Adar, so he wanted to mate his neder. Also v'ishol al-nidre, he went to be shol on his neder, v'ishri, and they were mate v'ishri, and therefore v'kiva now had access to all the money of Kalba Savua. Now, the Ran asks, and Tais asks all the Mesechus also, that we know is you're not allowed to be Pesach b'noilad. When you want to be Mata Neder, something that Pesach means that if you would have known about that B'Shasi made the Neder, you wouldn't have done it. But something was not around B'Shasi made the Neder, it's not a Pesach, because we made the Neder, Taka wasn't around. So when you made the Neder, Taka was on Maritz. Later on, it became a Talmud Chacham. That's noilad. So there's different versions of the Teretz, but basically the Teretz is that they knew already when he got married, they're going to go learn. And if someone is going to go learn, he's going to be a Talmud Chacham. He's going to be a Gadol Adar. And therefore, it's not called Noilat. And the Gemara goes further. It says, Gemara says, Menshis Mili Yisra Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva came very wealthy from six different stories. Number one, Mekalba Savua. From his Shver, from his father-in-law, Kalba Savua was very wealthy. The second place where he got his money from was from Me'ila de Svinasa. What does that mean? The Chol Svinasa, in those days, all the ships, Avnle Min Eina, they used to make this type of form or statue, or it was shaped like a ram, like an isle, and it was like a simon that the ship is going very quick. Like the Ran speaks out, Chol Svinasa is in the Mush Isle Me'etz, they made a form of an isle, like a ram, Me'etz from wood, Lenachesh, for superstition, was simon, Shteya Svina Kala Ba'alichasa Ka'ayil. Used to fill that up with Din Rezov. It was all part of the superstition that they used to fill us up with gold coins. With gold coins. Zimna Chada, one time when they were loading up the ship, and Shual Kefiyama, they left it on the riverbank, on the beach. They left it there. Also, who Rabbi Kiva came, Ashkei, he found it. And Shita Mekabetzes continues the story that he found it. And when the sailors realized they lost it, the next time they came back, they made announcements that we lost here, we lost this isle, this Svinasa, and it was where it is. And Rekiva came forward and said, yeah, I found it. And they were so impressed with his nemanus, with his honesty, they let him keep it. So Akaponim, that's the second place where he became rich from. The third place, Megavza, what's Gavza? Zimna Chodo, Yav Arba Zuzu Svinoi, he one time gave four Zuz to a svunai to a sailor, says, pick me up something for four Zuz. Omalahu, Isili Midam, I went to get you something. The only thing I found was this chest. Maybe you could use it for something to store things in it. Asuile, they brought this chest to Rabbi Kiva. Omalay, Avin Ranalov, this is for you. This is yours. Ishtaka, Achmaisi opened it up and he found to have a Malay Dinri. He found that it was full of dinrim. And the question is, like, why didn't they realize it? It was very heavy, full of dinrim. So they say, because these chests, a lot of times, the walls, the material it was made out of was very heavy. So they thought it was just an empty chest. The ma'aseh was full of dinrim. What was the story? Zimna Chado, how did this chest land up here? Zimna Chado, Tavas Svinah. So one time a ship sank, V'chule Iskahava Machesvu Gavza. And all the money of the whole ship, that was like the safe, was in that chest. Who gavza v'shtaka chuzimna? He found it at that time. So that's the third place already where he had money from. The fourth place is Matunisa. Matunisa. The story was that one time Rabbi Kiva and his talmidim needed money, so they went to a certain Matunisa who was very wealthy, and they said, "I want to borrow money." So she told Rabbi Kiva, "Okay, how are you going to pay back?" He said, "I want to pay back." So who's the arif? Who's your co-signer? So they said, "Akadosh Baruch Hu and the Yam are a raven." Kitza, came time to pay, and Rabbi Kiva at that time was sick, and he couldn't pay up. So the Matanisa went to the Sfas Hayam, went to the beach, and she said, Rabbi Shalom, you know, Rabbi Kiva said, you're the Arif, so he doesn't have money now, so, you know, you have to pay up now. At that minute, somewhere on the other side of the world, the daughter of the Kaiser went crazy, and took a whole chest of jewelry and precious stones, and Dimrei Zav and threw it into the water. And the water brought that this Machanisa, and she landed up getting much more even than she lent. So she took it and she went home. Now Rabbi Kiva got better. Rabbi Kiva went to pay her up. So she said, you know what? You're ready. Your co-signer paid up. And not only that, I'm going to give you the extra that I got. And I gave it to Rabbi Kiva. So that's how Rabbi Kiva became wealthy. The fourth way I became wealthy. That's the Matanisa. The next one, the fifth one, Ishtoi Shel Taran Srufus. What was the story with Ishtoi Shel Taran Srufus? Taran Srufus was a very powerful king. And Rabbi Kiva always used to fight with him about different psukim. And Rabbi Kiva always won. He always won the argument. One day, this Taran Srufus came home and he was very distraught. So his wife said, what's the problem? Why are you so distraught? So he said, because Rabbi Kiva keeps on, you know, winning me with the psukim. He keeps on bothering me. So she said, you know what, I'll fix him up. She's dressed up like a zayna, and she's going to go make him be mezana, and that's not good, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu hates zima. So she went to dress up, and she pulls up to, as a zayna, offering her services for free to Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva saw her. Rabbi Kiva laughed, and he cried, and he spit. So he chapped what's going on. So she said, well, what's on those things? So I'll tell you, I'll tell you two of them, one I won't tell you. He says, first of all, I spit because you come from a tipa srucha. Where do you think you come from? You're a regular person. You come from a tipa srucha. That's number one. Number two is I cried because such beauty is going to go be buried in the ground in a few years. So I was crying about that. And then he laughed also. He didn't say why he laughed. The reason why he laughed was because he saw Ruach Kodesh that he will one day marry her. And Kachava, she became a Gioris. And years down the road, when Rabbi Kiva's wife died, Rabbi Kiva married her. And she was obviously a very wealthy woman. So that was the fifth way how he got money. The sixth way was Umeketia Bar Shalom. From Ketia Bar Shalom, who was a minister in the government, and he stuck up for the Jews one time in a certain argument. And Lamai said, they said, you know, you won the argument, but anyone who wins the case has to be killed, any minister. So they went to kill him, and as he's being killed, he said, all my nechasim go to Rabbi Kiva v'chaverov. And I in the Gemara of Arizara for more details on exactly the Maisa. But these are the six ways how Rabbi Akiva became wealthy.